This CoinWeek podcast is brought to you by PCGS. Get free access to a vast library of coin information on PCGScoinFacts.com, where new coin images, pricing, and narratives are added daily. 2014 American Numismatic Association Numismatist of the Year winner Ron Guth is not only the president of PCGS CoinFacts, but is also one of the hobby's leading experts in German coins. In this episode of the CoinWeek podcast, we talk to Ron about his passion for this area of numismatics and ask him how we too can build an amazing collection of German coins. Hi, Ron. This is Charles Morgan from CoinWeek.
Hi, Charles. Nice to talk to you today.
I wanted to touch base with you and talk German coins. I know that this is an area of your special interest, and a lot of CoinWeek readers are interested in collecting world coins. So I wanted to elaborate on this series and get your thoughts about some of the issues surrounding collecting German coins, if that's okay.
Okay. Happy to help any way I can.
So, Ron, how did you take up German coin collecting?
Just by weird coincidence, I had sold my coin shop in Indiana in 1981 to a friend. And around 1988, he called me up and he said, I have this little deal of German coins and wanted to know if I was interested. Well, I was in the U.S. series at the time and really didn't know anything about German coins. But, of course, you know, I always want to take a look. So he sent over a box of coins, and it was primarily just loose German coins with a group of East German commemoratives on top, all in these, the plastic holders they normally come in. And I went through it, and I thought that his asking price was fair, so I bought the deal. And then I was faced with the task of selling them. And, you know, usually with the world coins, you know, U.S. coin shops aren't very strong buyers of those things, so I put a little ad advertisement in the back of CoinWorld, you know, asking people to send in for a free list of coins if they're interested in German coins. And so I got quite a good response to that, sold off all the East German coins right away, and then just started pricing out the rest of the Germans, and that was the birth, I guess you'd say, of my German coin business.
So do you have a family background in Germany?
Well, my father emigrated to America after World War II. His father told him, you know, the country's wrecked. You better go to America because you have no future here. So I'm half German, but that's not why I got into German coins, but that's just a connection that has to be there.
Ron, do you think that popular opinion on collecting German coins has evolved in recent years compared to what it was when Americans look at Germany as the terrible Axis power of World War II?
Yeah, I think a lot of the areas of collecting, you know, they change over time. I know that when I first started going to Germany in 1988, if there were coins from World War II there with swastikas on them, the dealers would put a sticker over the swastika because at that time it was, you know, considered illegal to display any emblem of the Third Reich. So, I've actually seen coins where people have scratched the swastika off the coin to efface it. And again, that's evolved over time. Nowadays, you can go over there and they're pretty much at every coin show, and you know, they're on display, and no one's coming in there from the authorities and saying, no, you can't display that, that's against the law. So the attitudes have changed to a certain degree in that respect.
Explain to collectors who may not know, how and where are modern German coins made?
Pretty much this location. I mean, all the coins are the identical design. They just have a different mint mark. A is for Berlin. That's the most prolific, I guess that's so-called mother mint. That would be a correspondent to our Philadelphia mint in that regard. But they all just produce coins for various purposes, some for proof sets, some for regular circulation. But they all carry the same design with just different mint marks.
And as far as the post-war period, starting in the late 40s and 50s, it seems that West German marks turned out to be much scarcer than their mintages would indicate, especially in mint state. And it seems that the Bundesrepublik series has been an area of collecting that has become more or less popular with collectors, especially now that the Deutsche Mark has been supplanted by the Euro. Is this how you find things?
It is correct to a certain point. I mean, I can address a couple issues you bring up. One is the scarcity of the coins in high grade. I mean, after World War II, the German economy was in really bad shape, and most people couldn't even afford to, you know, feed themselves. So they weren't collecting coins. So a lot of these one marks and five marks that entered into circulation, they're very, very difficult to find in gem condition because they just weren't saved. So from that standpoint, there's an interest developing in the quality side of numismatics. You know, 20 years ago, people were just filling holes with their collection, and they didn't really care about the quality. Nowadays, they're starting to look for the finest of the finest. I mean, the American attitude toward collecting has started to shift over to Europe, and they're becoming a little bit pickier about what coins they want for their collection, and they're willing to pay for quality, which is another change. The overall interest in West German coins rose for a while until about maybe 5 or 10 years ago, and now it's sort of waned. A lot of interest has shifted over to the Euro coinage, the new Euro coinage, or older coinage. So many of the coins that used to be considered to be rare and desirable are now selling at, you know, 50% off their former price. And one example is the 1952 Museum five mark commemorative, which is the first of the five marks. And, you know, for many, many years, that was a $1,000 coin, $1,500 coin and up, and now you can buy them for $500,
$600. In your experience, how does the market price for this material in the United States fare compared to how it does in the European market?
It's a pretty dramatic, actually, on two levels. In the German market, they use primarily two price guides. One is Münzen Review, and the other is Money Trend. These are monthly coin magazines that have, you know, pricing information in there. And that's pretty much what the Germans use to price the coins. Over here in America, we use the Krause catalog, and some of those prices have risen to reflect the higher prices in Money Trend and Münzen Review, which has actually put a dampening effect on the market because collectors are going, wow, these prices are dramatically higher than they used to be. You know, the number of people that are playing at those levels, I think, has dropped off. There's another influence, and that is the Internet. You know, we have a lot more access to coins from Germany than we used to. You can buy directly from Germany. You can buy from American sellers that offer German coins. So there's a lot more material that's available to collectors that wasn't there before. And some of that has softened prices just because, you know, the German market is nowhere near the size of the U.S. market, and so it's just a little bit thinner.
What role do you think third-party certification has played on the European coin market? Has it had the impact that you're expecting, or are we still in the early phase?
I think it's still in an early phase. What we're seeing is, I think I took my first trips to Germany to introduce a PCGS over there in like 2007. I know we got on the cover of Money Trends in, let me check the year here. I think it was 2008 or so. Anyway, they gave us a good article. You know, they expressed a lot of curiosity in it when it first started. Subsequently, we opened operation, or PCGS opened operations in Paris, and so a lot of material is being submitted there to be graded. But what I see happening is that the material, at least for German coins, gets graded in Paris, and then the submitters post it immediately on eBay within a week or two, and it sells mostly to American collectors.
Well, if you think about it, it's a great way for American collectors to get access to this type of material and be reasonably assured of what they're getting. It seems to me that in Europe there's a different numismatic culture insofar as how they treat and handle coins, and that maybe American collectors wouldn't be comfortable with that.
Oh, I totally agree with you. One of the shocking things that I've seen over there is you go to an auction, and most of the coins are offered raw. They're for lot inspection. You're handed a tray with the coins in them. Some of them are in envelopes or sitting on paper tabs that have the information about that lot on them. But I always thought, oh my gosh, I do not want to be the first guy to look at the coin. I want to be the last guy to look at the coin, because if anything happens to it as the coins are handled, you know, it could be fingerprints, could be dropped on another coin, you know, who knows. So in that regard, many of the auctions over there, they don't treat the coins as carefully as we would over here. I mean, we tend to, you know, seal them up, lock them away, put them in bubbles or whatever, just to make sure that nothing happens to them. And that's not the case over there. But I think that'll change as people realize that the price for quality means that you better take care of the coins.
I don't know whether you have access to this information or whether you can share it, but are you aware of whether the rejection rate for PCGS is higher for European submissions than they would be in the U.S. market because of this issue?
But that I don't know, but I would think that, I mean, we give coins detail grades anyway, so I'm not sure what percentage of coins end up with a detail grade. But my experience with world coins is, and that includes stuff outside of Germany, is that the coins haven't been played with in the sense that over here they've been conserved, improved, you know, trying to get the max grade out of the coin. In world coins, that's not so much the case yet. And so you see a lot of fresh material that what we call crusty, you know, it's got the original surfaces, original color. So sometimes just the fact that they're, you know, they haven't been conserved or improved to reduce some of those no grade issues or detail issues, we intuitively I would think that we have a higher percentage of detail coins coming out of Europe.
It seems to me that in collecting German coins, and I haven't collected to the scope or scale that you have, but it seems to me that when you go to catalogs that are available in our market, that there isn't an easy-to-use or complete knowledge base available to collectors. When it comes to branchment proofs, for instance, or varieties, or obviously as you go back into the early 20th century and before, there's a lot of interesting issues that come up in the market from time to time that really haven't been cataloged or written about. On the one hand, that's exciting. You know, as a collector, I'm excited by the opportunity. But on the other hand, as a buyer, it's a little bit terrifying at the same time.
It's actually one of the things that attracted me to German coins. You know, most U.S. coins have been researched literally to death. But you're right, in the German coin, you can find all sorts of interesting varieties that haven't been published anywhere. You can find these the weird proofs that you mentioned that aren't listed anywhere. But it's a double-edged sword. If you have someone offer you a coin that isn't listed, they think it's worth $1 million, when in fact it could be fairly common. And then on the other hand, when you go to sell it, you have to educate the collector as to what this particular coin is. I got an email this morning from someone who was wondering why, how it could be that there's a PCGS graded proof Prussian Thaler when it's not listed in Krauss. Well, it's because Krauss is by no means complete. I mean, they're better than having nothing, but there's a lot of things that aren't listed there, as you know from your own collecting.
What's the most exciting piece that you've encountered that wasn't in a catalog?
I think a lot of the state's proofs, Prussia in particular, there's a lot of, you know, miners, the 1 pfennig, 2 pfennig, 3 pfennig, some of the other German states where they have these beautiful little proof coins that are, you can buy them for $100, sometimes even less. And they're just these wonderful coins, and they've got to be extremely rare. There's no record of their mintage. A lot of these things were created by the mint master, sometimes for his own profit, sometimes for presentation. And they're just these rare little things that pop up from time to time that really, really make it exciting to find them.
So, Ron, how far back does your collecting interest in German coins go?
I go back pretty much to the 1700s. I really like the Thalers from Bavaria. They call them the Madonna Thalers. They were started in 1753 and go all the way up to 1800. And they are a wonderful series. It's probably the least expensive Thaler or dollar size coin you can buy from any country. And they're just great coins. Prior to 1700, everything gets a little bit esoteric. Krause has created this wonderful book for the 1600 to 1700 dated coins, but you don't see those so often. They're a lot rarer, and in my experience, the collecting base for those is fairly small.
So if you were a collector that wanted to get involved in German coins, what would be a good strategy to get started, and what references would you recommend a collector start out with?
There are several ways to attack it. One is to go to the German states and try to get one from each state. There's quite a few different possibilities. Then you can pick a particular state and try to get one coin from every denomination within that state. And because they sometimes span hundreds of years, this is something that would take years and years, if not a lifetime, to collect. In the modern era, I like the one mark series from 1873 to 1916. That's a coin the size of a U.S. quarter. I kind of liken them to our Barber quarter series, and they're relatively affordable even in uncirculated condition. Going a little more modern, the Weimar period has this beautiful series of 3 and 5 mark commemoratives that are just a great variety of designs, and most of them are reasonably affordable, even in uncirculated condition. I think you can buy those for $100 to a couple hundred dollars, and included in that is like the Zeppelin commemoratives. They celebrate Lessing, the Rhineland, the 1000th year of the Rhineland. There's just a wonderful group of designs there. In the modern era, the 5-mark and 10-mark commemoratives from 1952 to date, up until 2001, are very popular, and many of those can be purchased for close to their face value.
And there's also the East German series.
Oh, forgot about the East German series. Yeah, the East German series is very popular now because it's a closed series. They're not issuing any more, so once you complete your collection, it's done. They made a series of 5, 10, and 20 mark commemoratives from 1967 up until 1999, and those are just a really nice a way to collect. There's numerous designs. They're made in silver, copper, nickel, and then there's also the East German circulating coins, which, like the West German coins, are rather hard to find in nice condition because nobody saved them.
Well, Ron, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing with us your love and knowledge of German coins. I know that there are many Coin Week readers and listeners who share your passion, and now we have a pretty good idea of where to take our collections going forward. So thanks again. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. And don't forget, you can download our entire back catalog of podcasts on the iTunes Store. For Coin Week, I'm Coin Week editor Charles Morgan, signing off. Until next time, happy collecting.